And if you want to read a couple of scriptures with me, I'm going to ask you to turn to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. And we're going to begin reading with chapter 41 and just read from verse 50 through verse 52. So Genesis chapter 41, verse 50 through verse 52. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of the famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. This is what Manasseh means. He called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for God, he said, hath made me forget all of my toil and my father's house. And as life continued, a second son followed. And he named the second, called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And I'm just going to stop reading right there. There's more there than meets the eye. And I'm going to stop reading right there and ask if you'll bow your heads and let's pray together and ask the Lord for his help and for his anointing in ministering the word of God. Father, we are thankful today, as every morning that we are enabled together in your name. We're thankful today for the opportunity to be in the house of God. We are thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit that has visited us as we have worshiped and as we have sang and we have felt the touch of your presence and the touch of your glory. This morning, Lord, we come to the reading of your Word, and I would just simply ask, God, that you would cause us to be effective in ministering the Word of God. Of my own self, I readily admit that I can do nothing, Lord. But if you will enable me and if you will anoint me and if you will empower me to be an instrument in your hand and a voice for your word, bless me to be a blessing. Let the word of God come forth through these lips of clay and let it fall upon ears that are touched of God to both hear and to receive. Let everything that is said be done and be done to glorify Christ and to edify the people of God. And for all of these things, Lord, we will forever give you the praise and we will forever give you the thanks. We ask it in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, and everyone in agreement said amen. So I want to begin this morning by just simply saying that 4 weeks ago to this day, or 4 weeks ago today, Sandy Swanson spoke for us, and she did an incredible and a wonderful job sharing a message with us that she titled, "Who Put Joseph in the Pit?" And that message is up on our website on elevationworshipcenter.org. If you have not had an opportunity to hear it, maybe you weren't here or maybe you missed that Sunday, but if you haven't listened to that message, I encourage you to go back and give it a listen because you will definitely be blessed. And I want to say right up front that my choosing this morning to speak about the life of Joseph is in no way intended to add or enhance anything that Sandy spoke to us in her sermon about 4 weeks ago. Her message was absolutely complete and uplifting, and it was a word directly from God. And so my desire this morning is not to re-preach or add to or try to do anything more to that message that she has already ministered to us. But how many of you know that the Word of God is so comprehensive and so powerful, and it is so incredibly rich with insight, and it is so profound that oftentimes from the very same story, there are a myriad of truths that we can draw from. When Sandy spoke about 4 weeks ago, and I would have probably preached this message a little sooner had it not been for Easter and a couple of other things, and you know, me not wanting to just come back the following Sunday with the Joseph story. But a couple of Sundays ago when she preached, the Lord just started burning something into my spirit, and I haven't been able to get it out. So you might want to buckle your seatbelt this morning. We may be in for a ride. But the life of Joseph is so rich with instruction and encouragement and insight for us. And so this morning, I want to minister to you a sermon or a message that the Lord has put in my heart entitled Paralyzed by the Past. Paralyzed by the Past. Really, maybe I could even clarify by saying more precisely, I want to minister about being free from a harmful past. Being free from a harmful past. Let me just remind you, first of all, this morning, what the definition or the meaning of the word paralyzed really is. Paralyzed means the inability to move. An incapacity or an incapability of mobility, a helplessness to be able to function correctly. As we look around this room this morning with our natural eye, we do not see anyone with an open wound, thank God. As we look around the room this morning, we do not see anyone with a visible injury. And gratefully, we do not see anyone this morning here in our presence that has a paralysis. But what I desire for you to understand this morning is that paralysis can either be physical or it can be emotional. It can affect us physically, or it can affect us emotionally and spiritually. We may be here this morning without a physical impairment, but how many of you know many of us sitting right here are emotionally and spiritually paralyzed because of an injury that took place years ago? If we could this morning look past the exterior, if we could look past the external and we could see down deep within one another's hearts, I submit to you that there are some that are sitting right here in the house of God this morning that have, amen, been paralyzed because of something that took place in their past. Hurtful events have left them wounded and scarred. They have been paralyzed or left paralyzed and unable to move forward with their life. It affects everything, every decision and everything they do. I have found it to be true this morning that physical wounds often heal much quicker than wounds of the heart. Amen. Let me just tell you something this morning. Words are very powerful, and words can leave you broken and empty inside. I have found it to be true that while physical wounds can heal, amen, in great time, that oftentimes the hurts of the heart are the hardest to find healing for. And today our world is filled with individuals that cannot move forward in life because they have been emotionally scarred and they are hurting and dwelling in the past. In reality, they may very well be in a new situation. In reality, their circumstances or their situation may have changed, but they're still living in the past because of the hurt. There are those this morning that can no longer trust because someone injured their heart. There are those that are filled with anger because someone did them wrong. There are those that are embittered and resentful because someone mistreated them, and they drag that bitterness and that resentful attitude into every new situation in their life. There are those that are always on guard. Always on guard, never willing to allow anyone to get too close. Anybody know what I'm talking about? There are those that are paralyzed and unable to move forward in life and in their life because of a past injury. And I just want you to understand this morning that one of the devil's most powerful weapons against us is affecting our future by bringing up our past. One of the most powerful and effective weapons that the enemy uses against us is affecting our future by bringing up the past. He hinders us from obtaining our best life because he's always dogging us about something that happened in the past. He strives to paralyze and immobilize us, and keep us from becoming everything that God desires for us to be. He's always trying to bring up the past hurts and the past failures and the past they did me wrongs and all of that kind of stuff. And all he's really trying to do is keep us from becoming what God desires for us to be. All he's really doing is trying to keep us from inheriting what God desires for us to have. Amen. Let me put it another way. We should never allow our past to dictate the quality of our future. We should never allow our past. Well, preacher, you don't know what kind of past I have. You don't know what kind of past I've got. I have news for you this morning. We all have a past. The good news is that the Bible said that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from every sin. Amen. The blood of Christ cleanses from all unrighteousness. Amen. There is power in the blood this morning. No matter what your past may be, there is power in the blood to give you a clean slate and wash you and make you white as new snow and give you a brand new life in Christ Jesus. Amen. We should never allow our past to dictate the quality of our future. We should never allow the enemy to hold us captive in the past and paralyzed by the past because of something that transpired in the past. But the enemy, that's his desire. There are times in life that we feel as if we can't move past something that they said. Why, let me ask you, why would we give them that kind of power over our life? Why would we give them that kind of power over our life? We can never move beyond that thing they did, or maybe even that thing that we did. We can never seem to let go. It haunts us. It frustrates us. It hinders us. And instead of moving on with our life, we become paralyzed by the past and unable to move forward in life. I want you to understand this morning that life is not fair. I understand that it hurts, and I know that it can be painful, but I came to tell you this morning, amen, that if anybody ever had a reason to live in the past, it was Joseph. Consider this young man. He is 17 years old. All of our kids and all of our teenagers have already left the sanctuary this morning. But just 17 years old. The older I get, the younger, or the more I realize how young that is. Just 17 years old. Joseph is 17 years old. He is sold into slavery. He is loved by his father. Oh, but he is hated by his brothers. We read there in the book of Genesis from chapter 37 through chapter 41 that we read that for 20 pieces of silver, he is sold into slavery. They put him in a pit and they were going to kill him, but they decided, why not make a little money on this proposition? And they saw a band of travelers coming, and they decided that they would sell him to that band of travelers. They sell him for 20 pieces of silver, and a 17-year-old boy is hauled away from his home and away from his family and away from his father who loves him, and he's taken into Egypt. I don't know about you, but that might have had an effect on my psyche, right? He's sold into slavery. He becomes a servant in Potiphar's house. Life is looking up. He becomes the keeper of everything in Potiphar's house. Yeah, he's a servant, but he's at the top of the food chain as far as servants go. He's over all the house of Potiphar. And then you know the story, Potiphar's wife. You know, he's accused of a crime that he didn't commit. And then he's thrown into prison. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's a spiral down. He's sold into slavery, amen, and accused of a crime that he didn't commit and thrown into prison. And there he sits, forgotten by his friends and forgotten by his family and forgotten by everyone around him. And he could have said, I give up. Enough is enough. He could have said, this is not fair. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Hello? He's sitting there forgotten. But I want you to know something this morning, that God knew exactly where he was. God knew his name and God had his address. Sandy brought out a couple of Sundays ago, you may have to go through some things, but God knows where you are and God knows what he has in store for you. Don't give up on the plan of God, because there will come a day when God will bring you out if you will just be faithful unto the Lord. I promise you this morning, your friends may have forsaken you and your family may have disowned you, but I want you to know something. God knows your name and he knows your address. And honey, you may have to go through some stuff, but on the other side of the stuff is glory and victory in Christ. Hallelujah. And you know the story. Joseph is thrown in prison. There he sits. And one day the cupbearer and the baker of Pharaoh had a falling out. And Pharaoh put the cupbearer and the baker in prison. And the head of the prison, put Joseph in charge of taking care of them. Because everywhere Joseph went, he rose to the top. He rose to the top at Potiphar's house. He rose to the top in prison. And so Joseph is put in charge of taking care of the cupbearer and the baker. One night, the baker and the cupbearer had a dream. They were a little disturbed when they woke up the next morning because they could not interpret their dream. And Joseph said, I'll tell you what your dream means. And he shares with them what their dream is. One is restored to Pharaoh and one is hanged in a public square. But when Joseph interpreted the dreams, he says to the cupbearer, don't fail to remember me before Pharaoh. You remember to tell Pharaoh about me because I'm in here unjustly. Now listen, the Bible says that 2 years go by. The cupbearer is released, the baker is hung. And 2 years go by and Joseph is still in prison. Does that sound fair to you? Hey, listen, the next time you think that life should be fair, just think about Jesus. He came to this world to love and preach love and to give love and to heal the brokenhearted, and they hung him on a tree. Do you think that's fair? It's not fair. Life is not fair. I don't know whoever told you that life is fair. Life is not fair. But God is just. This whole time, from the time that he was 17 to the time that he is in prison, God has a plan. God's just working the plan. God's just working the plan. Joseph just staying faithful to the Lord. 2 years go by and Pharaoh has a dream. And Pharaoh is very troubled by his dream. But no one, he calls for all the wise men of Egypt and they cannot interpret the dream. And the cupbearer says, Pharaoh, I made a mistake here, but a couple of years ago, I had a falling out with you and you threw me in prison. That was a Hebrew boy in prison that interpreted a dream of both me and the baker, and it was dead on. Why don't you call for him and have him come and see if he can interpret your dream? And so the Bible said that Joseph shaves and bathes and puts on clean clothing and comes and stands before Pharaoh. You can read all of this in Genesis chapter 37 through chapter 41. Read it next week. It'll bless you. Joseph stands before Pharaoh and he tells Pharaoh his dream and the meaning of the dream. He said, this is what your dream means. And actually, Pharaoh dreamed two dreams. And Joseph said, they're one and the same. They're the same dream. And this is what your dream means. And he interprets to Pharaoh the dream. And he says to him, if you're a wise Pharaoh, if you're a wise leader, you will take someone and set them over the realm of your kingdom to in the 7 years of plenty to store back that which is produced. And then when the 7 lean years come, amen, we'll have more than enough to see us through. And Pharaoh said, who in all of my kingdom is more wise than you? And he takes Joseph and he sets him in second in command over all of Egypt. Wow! He sets him in. As a matter of fact, Pharaoh said, there will be nobody more powerful than you than me when I sit in my throne. You are second in command over all of Egypt. And so in one day, literally it was hours, in one day, Joseph goes from prisoner to prince. Let me just tell you something. God can turn your situation around in a hurry. God can turn your situation around in a hurry. There is a robe put upon Joseph's back, a ring of authority placed upon his finger. Amen. A gold chain is placed around his neck, and he is given the second chariot of Egypt so that when he rides through the streets of Egypt, someone goes before him and hollers, make way for the prince, make way. I'm going to tell you, in just a few moments, amen, everybody in town was going to know that Joseph was in charge. As his chariot rolled through the streets, within a matter of hours, people everywhere would be bowing as his chariot goes by. Let me just tell you something this morning. You may have experienced some things in your past that have set you back, and you may have experienced some things that have held you down and kept you from rising, amen, to the level of success that you have desired. But I came to tell you this morning that if you will just be faithful to God, and if you will just hang on to the hand of the Almighty, then in His time, He will lift you up, and He will lift you out of your trouble, and He'll set your feet on a solid, clear path. In one day, he goes from prisoner to prince. That's a lot of power. What would you have done if you were in Joseph's shoes? What would you have done if you had just came in to that kind of authority and that kind of power? You're second in command over all of Egypt. Putting this message together, I thought of a couple of things that Joseph could have done. He could have said, excuse me, driver of the chariot, excuse me, I got a couple of stops to make before we get out of town. I need you to run me by Mrs. Potiphar's house, because I got an old score to settle with that woman. Hello? He could have said, excuse me, Mr. Pharaoh, sir, but I know I've only been on the job a few hours, but I need to take a little time off. I need to take a couple of squadrons of armies and head down to Canaan so I can go visit my brothers and my family. I've been waiting a long, long time for this day. Hello? Which most likely that's what a lot of us would have done. He could have said, finally, vengeance is mine. Hey, let me just tell you this morning, that's not Bible. When you say vengeance is mine, that's not Bible. The Bible said vengeance belongs to the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you something this morning. The reason that you haven't got over some of the things that have happened in your past is because you haven't let go of them. Let go of them and let God deal with the situation. As long as you got it in your hand, it's in your hand. But if you'll turn it loose, the Holy Spirit will convey to the Father that there's been an injustice here in this place. And the Holy Spirit, amen, will cause the Father to bring about justice on our behalf. Hallelujah. Joseph could have held on to the past, been embittered and angry, and when he got the opportunity, he could have struck back. Hello? He could have held on to it, but let me tell you, if he would have taken that route, he would have missed out on what God intended for him to have. He would have missed out on God's plan for the rest of his life. He could have continued to live in the what was and missed out on the what was to come. Hello? A lot of folks are living in the what was instead of the what is to come. Amen. Happiness This newfound happiness, his new freedom and wealth brought him to the place where he was freed from all of that. But what happiness would it be if that new freedom and that wealth would have brought him there and he was just simply full of bitterness and full of anger and full of, amen, wanting to retaliate? That freedom and that joy would have brought him no joy at all. Amen. The same, beloved, question could be asked of us. What joy and what blessing and what peace can God bring into our lives if we are still bitterly holding on to the past? What joy can God bring us? What peace can God bring us if all we're doing is replaying over and over the injury of the past? We become paralyzed to that situation and paralyzed to the past, and we become immovable and unmobile, and we can't move into what God desires for us to have. Hallelujah. One of Satan's ways to derail us is to play over and over in our mind what someone said. How many of you, you know, had somebody say, chide you in some way and say something to you, and you left and didn't have a good comeback, so you just roll it over and over for a couple of weeks? Well, what I should have said was, well, if I had the chance to do it again, this is what I'd tell that guy. And you just maul it over and maul it over and maul it over. What someone did, this is what they did. That was absolutely wrong. They should not have done that. Amen. And some folks lie awake at night and just lay it a mental video going over and over and over in their mind, and they play it over and over again. And there is no place of healing, and the wound never heals, and they can never get past it. They can never move on. They become paralyzed. Even though a new future comes to them, even though things have changed, they can never move forward. They can never accept the change because they're immobile and they're paralyzed to that situation. But not Joseph. Not Joseph. He had put the past in the past, and he was moving into the future. Listen to this. He knew by the grace of God that he could not let what happened in the past dominate the rest of his life. Listen to this morning. Joseph chose to believe that for whatever reason these things happened in life, that God had a plan and that God would take what the enemy had meant for bad and use it for something good. Joseph chose to believe and realize that there are seasons in life. How many of you know that's true? The Bible said to everything, there is a season. There are some seasons that are rough. There's some winter seasons in life, amen, where there's some hardships and there's some trials. But hey, be faithful to God and spring will sprung again. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Joseph chose to believe that sometimes we go through some winters and hardships, and he chose to believe that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Amen. Let that sink into your spirit this morning. Amen. I know it doesn't seem pleasant while we're going through it, but hey, all things work together for good. Even the bad stuff God will take and make it a benefit in your life. Joseph chose to stay close to God. He chose to believe God. He chose to move on with life. And notice that I said he chose. Notice that I said he chose. Let me share something with you this morning. Sometimes we are waiting for God to somehow undo what was done. Hello? Or we're waiting for God to supernaturally zap us and just remove all of it. It doesn't happen that way. It does not happen that way. It does not happen that way. Of course, God can help us. But let me just show you something this morning. We are the one that must put it behind us. Hello? I said, we are the one that must put it behind us. Pastor Gary, do you have Bible for that? I do. I'm glad you ask. Philippians chapter 3. You can turn there and read it with me if you like. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 12. It is the Apostle Paul. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But he said, this one thing, everybody say it, I do. This one thing I do. Hello? Sometimes we're waiting for somebody else to do something, and Paul said it's up to us to put it behind us. This one thing I do. What one thing do you do, Paul? Forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things that are before. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let me just tell you, God is not going to somehow turn the clock back and undo what was done or give you some kind of supernatural zap and just make it all go away. No, we have a responsibility to put it behind us. Any more verses? I need another one. All right. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18. Let me read it in the King James, and then I'll read it to you in the God's Word. Isaiah 43 and verse 18 said, remember not the former things, neither consider the things of old. This is God speaking. He's saying, remember not the former things. Consider not the old or the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. In the God's Word translation, it says, forget what happened in the past. Do not dwell on the events from long ago. This is God saying that I'm going to do something new. It's already happening. Don't you recognize it? Don't you see it? In other words, sometimes we can get so blinded by the past that we can't even see what God is doing in our life right now. Amen, Matt. Maybe I'm not what I used to be, but I pray to God I'm not what I'm going to be. Hello? He says, forget what happened in the past. Don't dwell on those events from long ago. I'm doing something new. It's already taken place. It's already happening in your life. Don't you recognize it? Beloved, don't be so blinded, amen, in your paralysis, amen, in the past that you can't see what God is doing right here and right now in your life. Maybe you're not where you want to be, but thank God you're not where you was. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. The same writer, the Apostle Paul, says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away. What do you do when something passes away? You bury it. You put it behind you. Amen. You bury it. Behold, all things have passed away, or old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. In other words, that may have happened in your past, but if you are in Christ, you can wipe the slate clean and choose to put it behind you, because that's not where you are now, and that's not the plan that God intends to have or for you to have. Keep walking forward and keep marching forward and let God bless your life. You cannot run this Christian race. You can't run any race for that matter looking behind you. Yeah, I promise you will stumble and you will fall. Amen. We know that Joseph got out of prison. We know that he was exalted in society. We know that he was blessed of God. But let me ask you a question this morning. Do we know if he ever got over the hurt? Do we know whether he ever got over the hurt? Do we know if did the wound ever heal? Did it ever heal over? Well, according to Joseph, it did. Joseph testifies that it healed over. He tells us that he got over the hurt and the injury by the names of his children. Now listen carefully to me this morning. In our Western society, we name our children a particular name because it's a pleasing sound to us. We like that name. Doesn't have to have a meaning. We like that name. So we name the child that. I remember when my wife was pregnant with Houston. She said, you know, let's think about baby names. And I said, well, I like Houston Duane White. She said, what? I said, I like the name Houston. She said, I don't know anybody named Houston. I went, that's just it. I like it. That's it. How many Houstons do you know? And we named him Houston Duane White. So Houston D. White. I loved it because there were no Houstons. I was preaching a revival in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. And I went in to have lunch one afternoon at an Applebee's, and I'm sitting there having my lunch, and I looked up at a sign across the street, and it said, Houston D. White, dentist, or DD, whatever. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So it doesn't matter. I mean, when we named Cody Cody, there were no Codys. Hello? But in our culture, we give our children a name because it sounds nice to us. It doesn't have to have a meaning, but that's not so in the Bible. In the Bible, they gave their children a meaning with a name. The name had purpose. The name had meaning. And Joseph testifies to us that he got over the hurt. He got over the injury. He moved past the crippling situation in his life, and it healed by the names of his children. When Joseph held the first child in his hand, he names him Manasseh. He names him Manasseh, which means God has made me to forget my toil or all of my trouble. He's saying, God has caused me to forget the past. He could have named him gold, success, authority, leadership. He could have named him all kinds of things because those were the things that God had blessed Joseph with. But Joseph said, no, the biggest blessing that God has given me is it doesn't hurt anymore. I got over the hurt. I got over the pain. I got over the injury. God has caused me to forget all of my trouble and all of my toil. Hallelujah. He didn't say that he learned to forget it. He didn't say that he learned to deal with it. He didn't say that he enrolled in a 12-step program to forget it. He didn't say that he went to a really good therapist. And I'm not knocking a therapist, amen, or the work that they do. But what I'm saying this morning is that at the end of man, there is a God that has the ability to step down right in the middle of your trouble and right in the middle of your wounded heart and bring health and healing and life more abundant. Hallelujah. Joseph wasn't saying that God gave me amnesia with that part of my life. No, he still remembered it. You never forget anything like that. He still remembered it. He didn't hit the delete. God didn't hit the delete button and just wipe it all off the page and go, it never happened. No, no, Joseph remembered it. But he said, God has caused me to forget. What he was really saying is that it doesn't hurt anymore. It doesn't hurt anymore. I moved on, and I moved on into what God desired me to have. Amen. I want you to know something this morning, that no matter what is in your past, it doesn't matter how hurtful the injury, if you will choose to put your hand in the hand of God and allow the Holy Spirit to touch your heart and touch your life, and you choose that I'm not going to remember it any longer. I'm not going to let it dominate my life anymore. How do I do that? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on those things and not about what happened. Bring every thought into captivity and unto the obedience of Christ. It all happens in your head. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, you never had to get over nothing. Well, I got news for you. Yeah, I got news for you. There have been a few things that I had to take to the Lord. I got news for you. Oh, no, I know what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not just preaching from some theological textbook. I'm preaching from the heart. I'm here to tell you that, amen, if you allow it, it'll paralyze you and keep you entrapped and keep you in bondage and keep you in captivity. But if you'll allow God to have it and you'll turn loose of it, and when the enemy brings it to your mind, you'll put it out of your mind and think on the things of God. Hey, God will bring you to the place that it doesn't hurt anymore. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second son comes along, and I love this. The second son comes along, and Joseph names him Ephraim. Ephraim. When this second child is born, Joseph holds that baby in his arms, and he reveals something about God that I don't want you to ever forget. Joseph names him Ephraim, meaning God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering. God, what he was saying was, God has made me fruitful in spite of what happened. God has caused me to be blessed and successful in spite of what took place. Some of you sitting here this morning, you've got some old injuries in the past, and you've got some old hurts and some scars that haven't quite yet healed over, and they've caused you to be immobilized and paralyzed and hung up in the past and held in captivity. I came to tell you this morning that God is able to make you fruitful in spite of what happened, in spite of what they said, in spite of what they did. God is able to make you to be blessed. Hallelujah. God taught Joseph that even the worst damage can be turned into good if we will just keep a right attitude and a right spirit. a right attitude and a right heart. God taught Joseph that he could make us fruitful even in the hardest places of life. Let me just tell you, I have learned that when things are at their very worst, our God is at his very best. When things look their very worst, that's when Jesus takes over and does what only he can do. Hallelujah. I don't know this morning about you. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know your situation or what the injury of your heart may be. But I do know that God is still the God of Manasseh. I do know that God is still the God of Ephraim. I do know that he can take and turn the very worst into that which makes us become our very best for him. Hallelujah. Pastor Gary, can you give me some examples of that in the Bible? I can. God took Rahab, a prostitute, and turned her into an individual that was in the very lineage of Jesus Christ. God took Moses, a murderer, and made him a leader and a lawgiver. God took David, who was an adulterer and a murderer, to the place where God said, he is a man after my own heart. God took Jonah, a man who ran from the call of God, and made him to become an evangelist that preached to a city that turned back to God. I said, God can take, amen, a broken and unusable vessel and turn it into something that's usable and a blessing for the kingdom of God. How about the little woman at the well? A multiple divorcee. And everybody looks down their nose at a divorcee. A multiple divorcee. And I'm not saying that God is, you know, on the side of divorce. He's not. Scripture said God hates divorce. But let me just share something with you. Here is a woman at the well that has been with 5 different guys, and she's currently with a whole nother guy, a brand new guy. That's 6. Jesus said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right. You said truth about that. You've had 5. And the guy you're with now is not your husband. Wow. How many of you know, and I've preached this before, how many of you know that 6 in scriptural numerology is the number of man? And Jesus told her, he said, if you'll ask of me, number 7, the 7th one. He said, if you'll ask me, 7 in scriptural numerology is perfection. He said, if you'll ask me, I'll give you what you're searching for. You're running from this guy to this guy and this guy to this guy, trying to find something that'll fill your heart and feel and satisfy the longing of your soul. You ain't gonna find it out there, honey. But if you'll ask me, I'll give you living water that'll cause you to never thirst again. And he took that divorcee, that multiple divorcee, and turned her into an evangelist. She went running back into the city and said, hey, come and see a man that told me everything that I've ever did. Is not this the Christ? No, she preached to that whole city and they all came out to see him. I'm here to tell you this morning that God can take your very worst and make it turn out to be your very best. God can take your very worst and turn it into something that becomes the best. Let me conclude this message this morning. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you believe this morning that he can and he will set you free from the hurts of the past? I came to tell you today that God is still the God of Manasseh. He is still the God of Ephraim, and he's still able to do exceeding and abundant above all that we could ask or all that we could think, according to the power that works on the inside of us. Amen. That power that needs to be working on the inside of us is the power of the Word of God. the power of the Word of God. Somebody said, well, shouldn't it be the power of faith? Let me just tell you, faith cannot exist without the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. The power that needs to be alive and at work in us is the Word. And when we get the Word inside, amen, the Word will cause faith, and we can touch the hem of His garment this morning. Bow your heads all over the building, please. Paralyzed by the past. Paralyzed by the past. Can't move forward. I'm stuck right there at that hurt. I'm stuck right there at that, and I drag it into every situation. Though it may be a new situation, I drag it right into that situation. It's part of my life. It's part of who I am. I can't. Oh, yes, you can. Not in your own strength, not in your own ability, but it is not by our might, and it is not by our power. It is by the Spirit of the living God. Heads bowed, eyes closed all over the building. Father, this morning I sense in my spirit that there are those that are here, even in this place today, who have paralysis emotionally. Not physically, but God, on our spirit inside, on our spirit, in our spirit, we are emotionally paralyzed, captivated by the past, hurt, wounded, and cannot get over it. This morning, oh God, help us to touch you. Help us to touch you, that you might touch our life. And Father, help us choose to put it in the past and not allow the past to dictate to us the good things that you have in store for our future. I don't care this morning how old you are. If you are 80 and you are still breathing, you still have life to live. Don't allow what happened in the past to rob you of the joy of the years that are to come. If you are in your 20s, don't allow what happened in the past to destroy all of those years that are ahead of you. Don't allow the enemy to paralyze you and cause you to be immovable and move into what God desires for you to have. Touch our hearts, Christ. Jesus, we ask in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. How many of you here this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, you preached that message to me. I see your hand back there. I see your hand there and there and there and there and here and there and there. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't want to put you on the spot. I just want to pray with you. If you lifted your hand, will you please stand and come and stand here in front of the house of the Lord today? I'm asking you to come because as you come, I want you to just tell the enemy, that's it. You have had your way long enough. That's it. Today is the day. Today is the day that I choose to forget those things that are behind and reach forth unto those things that are before. That's a powerful scripture. You got to choose it. I put it behind me. I choose to put it behind me. I choose to put it under the blood. I choose to put it under the blood. And I'm going to ask God to touch my heart, touch my life, and release me from my paralysis. Bow your heads all over the front. Those of you that are still remaining in your seats, lift up your hands this way if you would, please. Help me pray with them. Heavenly Father, in the mighty and in the awesome and in the wonderful name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. God, we have a desire to be free. God, we have a desire for the wound to heal. Right now, this morning, we have come because we choose to put it in the past. And we ask you to be our God, the God of Manasseh, the God of Ephraim. Cause us to forget and cause us to be fruitful in spite of our suffering, in spite of our injury, in spite of our hurt. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would allow the Holy Spirit to move across the hearts of these that have come. Lift your hands up. Say, Lord, I need your help this morning. Lift your hands up all over the front. Lord, I need your help today. I choose to be free. I choose to no longer be a captive. I choose, Lord, right now to no longer be affected. I choose to no longer be paralyzed by past events. Maybe it was someone else's fault. I forgive them. Maybe it was my fault, Lord. I forgive myself. Maybe it was something I'd done. I forgive myself, Lord. I ask you to forgive me and release me and set me free. Oh, hallelujah. And Lord, move us from prison to prince. Move us from prison to prince, prison to palace, in the mighty name of Jesus. Bring us out, Lord. Bless us, we ask, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah.